Imagine sitting down at a restaurant, right? And the host walks up and hands you five different menus.
Okay, that sounds overwhelming already.
Right. And the dishes are totally identical across all of them, but like the descriptions are slightly altered and the prices just completely don't match.
Yeah, that's an immediate red flag.
Exactly. Do you trust the kitchen to get your order right at that point? Probably not. I mean, you are feeling friction before you even ask for a glass of water.
You're probably looking for the exit.
Yeah, you really are. Yet, businesses in Orange County are doing exactly this to their customers every single day through their digital footprints, which is wild. Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Glad to be here.
Today is Wednesday, June 10th, 2026, and we are unpacking a really fascinating stack of notes you've sent us. It's an article and a strategy document focused on, well, the title is Mastering Duplicate Content SEO for Orange County Businesses.
Which I know sounds a bit dry at first.
It really does. When I first glanced at that title, I definitely expected a very dry technical IT checklist. You know, the kind of thing you email to your web developer and then just immediately forget
Oh,
about.
absolutely. The classic throw it over the fence move.
Right. But our mission today is to completely flip that script. We're translating this technical document into a vital business strategy because your sources make this really compelling case that duplicate content isn't just about appeasing search engines.
No.
It is fundamentally about protecting a business's operational trust and safeguarding conversion rates in like an incredibly competitive local market.
Yeah, and what I love here is how the source material completely reframes what most executives think of as a minor technical annoyance. They turn it into a core leadership issue.
Which is such a pivot.
It is. And the context provided in the June 2026 SEO plan is crucial here,
Right.
specifically week 18 of this plan.
Right, the conversion optimization week.
Exactly. In that week 18 framework, fixing duplicate content isn't positioned as just digital housekeeping. It's actually the necessary bridge between earning those featured snippets on Google and building larger topical authority.
Because if you don't have that foundation.
The rest of the marketing spend simply leaks out of the funnel. You're
Right.
just wasting money.
Wow. Okay, let's unpack this leap from technical glitch to leadership crisis.
Uh-huh.
Because going back to that restaurant menu analogy, I think we intuitively understand the confusion on the user's end.
Yeah, the customer's frustrated.
Right. But the source digs really deep into the specific technical culprits causing that confusion behind the scenes. We're talking about multiple pages actively competing for the exact same search intent.
Which happens all the time.
And we're looking at copied service text literally plastered across different URLs. The text specifically flags things like messy parameter URLs, old landing pages that were just never taken down, and totally inconsistent canonical tags.
And that's where the jargon can get a bit heavy.
It really can. For those of you listening who don't spend your days staring at website code, some of this sounds super intimidating. Let's look at parameter URLs, for instance.
Sure.
This basically happens when your website's database automatically generates a new web address just because a user clicked a filter, like sorting a product list by price.
Right, so suddenly your site creates this shadow copy of the main page.
Exactly. And Google sees two identical pages and doesn't know which one to rank, so it just penalizes both of them.
It's just massive confusion for the search engine.
Yeah. And then there are canonical tags. Think of a canonical tag as essentially a VIP pass you hand to a search engine.
I like that analogy.
Thanks. It's basically a line of code that says, hey, you might see five versions of this page out there, but this specific one is the master copy. Like, ignore the rest.
Right. So when those tags are inconsistent, you are essentially giving VIP passes to everyone.
And if everyone is a VIP, nobody is a VIP.
Exactly. And, you know, these technical errors are actually bright red indicators of deeper operational flaw.
Really? How so?
Well, the document points out that when a website is littered with these issues, it usually means the business is relying heavily on manual effort.
Oh, I
Yeah,
see.
it shows this over-reliance on institutional memory, like depending on that one employee who just happens to know which landing page is the real one.
Oh, man, the single point of failure. We've all been there.
Right. And it reveals that leadership actually has incomplete visibility into their own digital assets. When you have those systemic problems, the downstream effects hit the customer directly.
Because it creates this awful user experience.
Totally. It causes slow answers. It creates inconsistent proof of your expertise. It results in a poor overall digital experience and sends incredibly unclear trust signals to the buyer.
And when trust is unclear, the user bounces and your conversions weaken.
Exactly.
Let me push back a little here, though, just playing devil's advocate for you listening at home.
Go for it.
If I'm a business owner in Orange County, right, and I'm evaluating my risks today, why should I care if my website has a few old landing pages floating around from some campaign we ran 3 years ago? I mean, does the customer really notice if a canonical tag is missing?
The customer absolutely notices the friction, even if they can't name the technical cause.
But fair point.
The text warns that when these duplicate content issues are ignored, a business loses time, leads, confidence, and security. And the truly dangerous part is that they lose these things without immediately seeing the cause.
It's like a phantom leak.
Precisely. The drop in leads happens quietly. A prospect searches for your service, finds an outdated 2023 pricing page that's still live.
Oh, yikes.
Right. And they get confused by the conflicting information on your main page, and they just quietly leave for a competitor. They don't call you to complain.
They just ghost you.
Yep. And this creates pervasive uncertainty for leadership. The metrics are bleeding, but the wound is invisible, and internally creates massive friction, too.
Oh, I bet the sales team hates it.
Oh, they do. Imagine your sales team trying to send a resource to a prospect, but they have to search through three identical blog posts just to find the one with the correct updated compliance information.
That is exactly the kind of silent bleeding that keeps executives awake at night, because you just can't fix a problem if you don't know where the leak is.
Right.
So because the stakes are so high, I mean, we're talking lost revenue and hidden security risks here, we need a structured way out. And luckily, the sources don't just point out the problem. They provide a very clear three-phase practical implementation roadmap.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah. So how does a company actually fix this without the internal team just drowning in technical debt?
Well, the roadmap is designed specifically for structured, measurable progress. Phase one is focused entirely on narrow and meaningful action.
Meaningful action. Okay.
The strategy insists that you don't try to boil the ocean. You start by auditing your duplicate templates. You consolidate those overlapping pages by combining their ranking power into one authoritative page.
So bringing everything together under one roof, essentially.
Exactly. Then you clean up the internal links so they all point to that new master page. And you use those canonical tags only where they strictly match the actual business strategy.
Okay, that makes sense. So the stated role here isn't to just hold a weekly meeting and talk about SEO theory.
Definitely not. The output must be a documented structural improvement to the website.
Right. Which brings us to phase two. And phase two is where I think a lot of companies stumble, because it emphasizes measurement over activity.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge hurdle.
You cannot just consolidate some pages, check a little box on your project management tool, and then just forget about it. You have to measure the outcomes to prove the effort actually moved the needle for the business.
Right. That's the ROI.
Exactly. The text provides exact metrics for this, and it shifts the focus from, like, did we do the task, to did the task improve our operations?
And the examples they give are really eye-opening.
They really are. Let's look at the mechanism behind one of the metrics, the source highlights tracking support tickets.
Yeah, this one is fascinating.
Right. Because you might wonder, what does duplicate content have to do with customer support tickets? But if you think about it, if you have three duplicate FAQ pages floating around your site with completely conflicting return policies,
or like outdated software troubleshooting steps.
Exactly. Your support desk is just going to be flooded with confused, frustrated customers. So consolidating those pages doesn't just appease Google's algorithm, it immediately drops your call volume.
It's a real-world operational win.
Yeah. It creates cleaner operational reporting because your team isn't logging 50 tickets a week for an issue that was actually solved on a hidden page nobody could find.
And that leads perfectly into phase three, where the strategy introduces this really fascinating safeguard. They call it standardizing ownership.
Yes, the ownership rule.
The source is incredibly insistent on a strict two-owner rule. Every single duplicate content remediation project must have one business owner and one technical or marketing implementation owner.
Okay, so wait. Here's where it gets really interesting, but also a bit, I don't know, counterintuitive.
How so?
Well, why do we need two separate owners for what is essentially a website fix? Doesn't adding a business owner to a canonical tag cleanup just introduce, like, corporate bureaucracy to something a web developer should just handle on their own?
I get why it looks like bureaucracy at first, but you really have to see what happens without it. The strategy defends this two-owner rule brilliantly by highlighting the tension between abstract strategy and technical execution.
Okay, unpack that tension for us.
So the business owner's job is to define WHY the fix matters. They are looking at the expected result, you know, the conversion protection, the risk mitigation, the reduction in those support tickets we just talked about.
Right.
Meanwhile, the implementation owner defines the HOW, the practical technical steps to actually consolidate the pages and rewrite the code.
Ah, okay. So if you only have the web developer owning it, they might consolidate the pages perfectly from a purely technical standpoint.
Right. The code is flawless.
But if the business owner isn't there to ensure that the newly combined page actually has the updated messaging and clear calls to action, the technical fix does absolutely nothing for your conversion rate.
Exactly. By pairing them together, you prevent the project from falling into two very common traps. It stops the work from becoming too abstract for the technical team to act on, and it stops it from becoming too deeply technical for leadership to evaluate.
That is such a smart balance.
The business owner keeps the project tied to revenue and risk, and the technical owner ensures the execution is grounded in reality.
Okay, so you have these two owners holding each other accountable, but accountability means absolutely nothing if they don't have the resources to actually execute.
Yeah, you need the money.
Right. And that's where the clash usually happens, securing the budget from a leadership team who very often views SEO as this invisible, open-ended expense. But the source has a very specific philosophy on how to budget for this without it just turning into a blank check.
They do. The framework breaks the budgeting down into two distinct categories. You've got urgent fixes, and then you have maturity improvements.
So urgent fixes are exactly what they sound like.
Yeah. These are the immediate triage items.
Yeah.
If you have duplicate checkout pages, and one of them is somehow insecure, or you have an outdated compliance page that violates local regulations, that is an urgent fix.
You have to stop the bleeding.
Exactly. You stop the bleeding because it is actively damaging your conversion rates or opening you up to massive liability.
Right. And then maturity improvements are more about building that institutional muscle over time.
Yes. That means investing budget into better reporting dashboards, automating the crawl of your website, training your content writers, and establishing governance so this whole duplicate problem doesn't just happen again.
And when leadership is looking at the budget and trying to prioritize these fixes, the primary question the source asks them to consider is the cost of inaction.
I love that framing, the cost of inaction.
Me too. Like, what happens if we leave this unresolved for another quarter? What is the acceptable operational impact of doing absolutely nothing?
Right. Are you willing to lose another 50 leads this quarter because your pricing pages are just cannibalizing each other?
Exactly. When you frame it around the cost of inaction, prioritization becomes entirely objective. Success isn't about whether you bought a shiny new SEO tool. It's about whether the work you funded actually clarified decisions for the customer or reduced risk for the business.
Which brings us to a massive trap, the text highlights.
Oh, the one and done trap.
Yes. A lot of organizations treat this entire process as a one-time single task. They approve the budget, launch the, you know, OCSEO 2026 cleanup project, celebrate when it's done, and then completely wash their hands of it.
And the source is adamant that managing duplicate content must be an operating discipline, not just a chore you cross off a list.
Because think about the mechanics of a growing business. If it's just a one-time project, what happens in 6 months?
Right. You have staff turnover.
You bring on a new PR vendor who publishes 5 new press releases with the exact same duplicate boilerplate text.
You update your content management system, and suddenly the exact same problems come right back.
That cycle of recurring technical debt is exactly why documentation is so heavily stressed in these notes.
But no one likes writing documentation.
I know. But the source explicitly clarifies that this documentation does not need to be a massive 100-page manual that nobody ever reads.
Phew.
Yeah. A simple baseline, a basic checklist, and a verification log are usually enough. It just needs to detail the decisions made, like why a certain page was chosen as the canonical master in the first place.
Right. Document the systems involved, the people responsible, and the date for the next review.
Exactly. The entire purpose of this log is just to stop future teams or the next marketing agency you hire from having to restart the whole discovery process from scratch.
Because restarting discovery is just burning money. You really don't want to pay an agency to spend 3 weeks figuring out why your website is structured the way it is when a simple verification log could tell them in 5 minutes.
Exactly.
So since documentation and future-proofing rely so heavily on the broader team and outside vendors, we need to look at how this specific duplicate content work fits into the larger web ecosystem.
Yeah, the linking strategy.
Right. Think of internal and external linking like a city's highway system. If all your off-ramps dump traffic into abandoned neighborhoods, like those old duplicated landing pages we talked about, the entire city gridlocks.
You need to route that traffic intentionally.
Yes. Route it to your digital downtown, passing authority and ranking power directly to your core service pages.
And the document provides very specific routing instructions for that highway system. For internal links, it points directly to incorporating Technigian resources.
Which are what, exactly?
Well, it outlines that you should naturally route traffic to key pages, like technical SEO services, SEO services, and content marketing. But the key word there is naturally. These links shouldn't just be slapped on a page as an afterthought. They need to help the reader actually understand what structural implementation support looks like.
Makes sense. And for external links?
It directs us straight to Google's duplicate URLs guidance and their canonicalization guidance.
Utilizing those external links is critical for establishing authority. You aren't just giving the reader a bibliography at the end. You are grounding your recommendations in credible standards.
Right.
When you are dealing with a business's search architecture, proving that your strategy aligns with Google's explicit rules builds immediate trust with the leadership team that's approving the budget.
Definitely. But looking at this ecosystem, there's another really fascinating layer to this, the local context.
Yes, the Orange County aspect.
Right. The source constantly references Orange County business conditions. And you might wonder, why drill down to the local level when technical SEO principles are essentially the exact same everywhere?
Yeah, canonical tags work the same in Ohio as they do in California. Mm,
exactly. But the local context is where the source draws a hard line. Generic, national competitor content simply doesn't work in a market like Orange County.
Why is that?
Because Orange County is saturated, highly competitive, and has a very high cost per click for digital ads. The buyers here are super savvy. They expect reliable systems, secure workflows, and immediate answers.
Right.
So by tying the technical SEO directly to local operational context, and by answering buyer objections specific to this region up front, the content provides vastly more value. It basically signals to the local prospect that you don't just understand canonical tags, you actually understand how Orange County businesses operate.
And a lot of local businesses don't even have an in-house SEO team, which means they usually bring in an outside vendor to handle this. So how do we keep a vendor accountable to this high standard?
Well, the source outlines clear rules for partner accountability.
Oh.
First, expectations must be completely unambiguous before a contract is even signed. You need to define the deliverables, the response times, the access boundaries, meaning, you know, what parts of the server they are actually allowed to touch.
Super important.
Yes. And the escalation steps if something breaks. But the most important standard the tech sets is really about communication.
Plain language, right.
Yes. Leadership should not have to decode technical jargon to understand if a vendor is doing a good job. A strong partner provides plain language reporting.
Right. They don't hand you a report that just says, oh, we fixed 50 parameter URLs.
No. They hand you a report that says, we consolidated your competing service pages, which streamlined the user experience and increased lead capture by 5%.
They connect the technical implementation directly to the business outcomes.
Exactly. Because if the vendor cannot explain how fixing a technical issue improved lead quality or reduced risk, they aren't functioning as a partner. They are just a mechanic.
I really like that distinction. So, to bring all of this out of the theoretical and into immediate boots-on-the-ground execution, let's look at the 30-day action checklist provided in your notes.
This is great for the internal team.
Yeah, this is exactly what the team needs to do the moment a duplicate content fix goes live. So, in the first 30 days, you confirm the newly consolidated page is actually indexed by Google.
Meaning you verify the search engine has actually crawled and registered your update.
Right. Then you ensure the SEO title and meta descriptions are visible and compelling in the search results. You check that your focus key phrase is present naturally without any weird keyword stuffing.
Nobody likes reading that.
No. Then you validate that all internal links actually point to the new live page, avoiding any of those dreaded 404 errors.
Crucial step.
And you also make sure your FAQ schema validates. For those wondering, schema is essentially structured data that helps Google pull your specific answers directly into the search results page. If it doesn't validate, you lose the chance to appear in those highly visible featured snippets.
And beyond the technical checks, you have to track the behavioral metrics too.
Like what?
Search impressions, clicks, ranking movement, engagement time, and assisted conversions.
And the text highlights one final metric that I think is perhaps the most telling of all. Checking if your sales and service teams are actually using the newly consolidated page as a resource for prospects.
That is the ultimate test. If your sales reps are actively dropping the link into their follow-up emails because it perfectly answers a client's question, you know the page has real business value.
It's working.
It's working. Synthesizing all of this, the ultimate takeaway from these sources is really about redefining what success looks like in digital marketing.
How so?
Well, the strongest signal of success here is not mathematical perfection. You aren't going to have a flawless website with zero technical debt. That's impossible.
Right.
The goal is controlled progress. It's taking a highly complex concept like remediating duplicate content and turning it into a managed business capability.
Building a system.
It's exactly. Building a system with clear visibility, joint ownership between technical and business leaders, and measurable follow-through that protects your bottom line.
Controlled progress over perfection. I really love that framework. It completely changes how you evaluate the technical health of your operations. Instead of chasing some perfect website score, you are chasing a frictionless customer experience.
And that's what actually drives revenue.
Absolutely. Which brings us to our final thought for you to mull over today. We started by talking about how duplicate content is like a restaurant handing out confusing, contradictory menus.
The five menus nightmare.
Yes, exactly. But taking everything we've unpacked today into account, well, if duplicate content is essentially a digital reflection of unresolved internal decisions, manual workarounds, and outdated priorities.
Which it is.
Then what does your organization's digital footprint say about your company's clarity of purpose right now?
Ooh, that's a tough question to ask.
It's a really big question, but we hope the incredibly practical sources you provided help you answer it. Thank you so much for bringing this stack of notes to the table for this deep dive.
It was a great discussion.
It really was. We'll catch you on the next one.